Before I preach again, let me say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, church, for having me tonight. You would never forget the no-no. How in the world you forget no-no? When you say no-no to your grandchildren. Remember us in your prayers. Amen. We got in here July. We're going to get home next week. My ultimate purpose, number one, please pray. These ministries that God gave in to us, it's all by faith. I started from scratch. I went to this island in this particular city. I didn't know of anybody. I just started sharing the word of God. Amen. And for the last many years in the mission field, many of our supporting churches just drop us on support. So I have to come back this way again and recover the lost support that we lost for many years. All these ministries is all by faith. And I do not want to stop one of these ministries because we do not have the money. I started by faith, by God's grace. We will go on by faith. I would like to challenge your church to be our partners. Amen. Brother Nono, how? For your prayers. Number two, I need your monthly support. When you support this missionary, your money will touch the souls of men right away. I'll not be spending your money on deputation. Right away, it would touch the souls of men. Apostle Paul said, not because I desire a gift, by a desire, fruit that you may abound in your account. So I am giving you the opportunities tonight to think, consider, invest your money in eternity that would bring an eternal dividends. By God's grace, at the same time, I challenge my supporting churches to help us to build dorms for this campsite. By God's grace, we got now $45,000 to build the dorms. I need for $4,000 to furnish the tabernacles. And so please pray for us. We got a prayer cards at the back. And again, my goal as a missionary is to plant church a year. For many years, the Lord never fail us. Never. Just this year, using the profession of my girl, a doctor, we were able to go to the mountain. These people never heard the gospel for the first time. No Catholic church in that community. By God's grace, using medical thing, they got saved. And now we have a church planted in the mountain. So church, I challenge you, be a part. Please, I beg you, join us, harvest time. You know, when you do fishing, when you drop your net right here or your hook and no one is catching, just like you, almost discouraged. But when you see on the other side, left and right, catching fishes, I guess you're going to go there and help. Go there and drop your hook. Philippines is harvest time. I challenge you to join us while our people is being hurt by earthquakes and typhoons. Right now, they're looking for real one. We can double our time if we have resources, if you'll just support us, because we can double our time if you just join us of harvesting the souls in my country. So I am praying, church, I challenge you, please, consider us as your missionaries in the Philippines. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much. Turn your Bible tonight in Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 12. Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 12. I'm obvious I'm a missionary, but I'll not be preaching missionary message tonight. I've been in your country for the last 5 months. preaching the largest church and the smallest church in your country, the more I'm burdened for your country, especially the condition of your churches around. And by God's grace, that's what I will going to focus my message tonight. And it's my prayer that through this Thanksgiving this week, you would remember how God giving you this land. In Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 12, for the sake of the verse, or the time, verse 12. Now just one verse tonight. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord speak in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let us pray. God, please give me the message. Give me the freedom and the liberty of preaching the word of God tonight. I am asking you, Lord, please empty me with myself and fill me with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that you would just bless our time together as we receive your words tonight. Thank you for the kindness of the pastor. Thank you for the leadership of this church. Thank you for all the deacons and the friends of this church that behind this church. Now I'm asking you, please speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While I was starting all these missionary works, for the first year we started the work, or this mission work, right away God spoke to me to have a camp in our island. The reason for that, because I met my wife at the camp. When I met my wife at the camp and married her, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to give my life for the young people. And then as we have that every year, I found out that the only way for us to get prospects, students for our Bible college, to be a pastors and missionaries and Sunday school teachers, we have to have a camp. And by God's grace, ever since we have a camp. And when I have this every year, finally, about several years ago, I told the Lord, and I said, Lord, you must be kidding here. It's very hard when you have a camp, and this year you're going to rent this building and rent this public school building, and next year another place, and from place to place every year. It's so tough. It's so hard hiring and transporting all your stuff and all the campers from place to place every year. And I told the Lord, Lord, we need a campsite. We need a campsite where every year we can have the camp. We prayed, we fast. Guess what? Amen. Somebody told me that there is a piece of property down south, about 2 hours away from our church, for sale. I went there right away. When I saw this piece of property along the seashore, along the beach, with the natural waterfalls. When I saw that piece of property, I told the Lord, Lord, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I went back to the church and I challenged the church to pray. And then that weekend I challenged my people with our Bible students and our staff to just go somewhere and spend overnight prayer and fasting. We prayed hard for a whole night. Guess what? After 3 weeks, somebody called me up from Michigan and said, Brother, no. I don't know why I'm so bothered. What's going on you? And I told him right away, and I said, God, so burden my soul to buy this piece of property for our camp, because we need a campsite. Guess what? He said, how much money you need? Don't ask that to a missionary. The Bible says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And I told him the amount. And he said, after 3 days, you get the money. We bought that piece of property. We call it Camp Canaan. Amen? Now, Brother Inono, what's the point? When I read this passage right here, God inspired me really to build this Christian camp. You know, when you start a ministry from scratch and nothing, you need the strength of God. So tiring, so discouraging, especially when you have nothing. But that passage strengthened my soul. That passage right there, I study and deep into that passage, I found out. And that's where I got my strength. You know, when you study the whole background of the whole chapter, you find out that after Moses died, Joshua took over the leadership. And right away, he led the nation of Israel at this point around. He is now in the point of dividing the promised land into 12 tribes by lot. While Joshua doing that, to divide the promised land into 12 tribes by lot, here is Caleb just watching it. And Caleb just watching. Oh, he cannot wait his turn. He came up to Joshua right away and said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And I said to myself, why? In spite of the fact that this time Joshua Caleb is already 85 years old, yet he is still excited about the things of God. What is in him, in spite of the fact that he is already at the age where, well, you would say, I'm a senior citizen, but still is excited to claim his blessings. Amen. And by the way, he asked the most difficult task. Because that mountain need to be developed. That mountain need to be worked. Oh God, help us tonight to give us Caleb in this church that will just come up to the pastor and said, preacher, give me the job to do. I guess if you can find Caleb's tonight from this church, your church will never be the same. If you have that attitude in your heart, your Christian life would never be the same. An attitude willing to work for the Lord. I found out in verse 6 why he came up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain. What is that, brother? No, no. Look in verse 6. Verse 6, the Bible says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, look at that word, mark that word, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Thou knowest what Moses said. He reminded Joshua and said, thou knowest, can you still remember that? What God has told Moses? What is that? That means my friend Caleb remembers God's promise to him. He came up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain, because Caleb remembers God's promise to him. My friend, let's go home tonight and remind ourselves in the promises of God. If you just build our faith in the promises of God, your life, I guarantee you tonight, your life would never be the same. The Bible says, anything that is not of faith is sin. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. You would only receive the blessings from God according to the measure of your faith in the promises of God. The most scary thing I am going to remind you tonight in this country is the fact that right now, if you're not careful, the system of your country is trying to destroy your faith in God.
Right. Amen.
How, brother? No. This is what's going on. The young people, the young couples try to work hard and earn good credit. Once you have a good credit and have that credit card, just like you have the privilege to buy the whole world, instead of trusting the promises of God. Amen? It would destroy your faith in God. We have to go home tonight and remind ourselves what God has promised to us. Somebody told me that there are 33,000 verses in the book that need to be claimed before eternity. The reason why we are not enjoying the blessings of God, because there are many unclaimed blessings that we do not claim as Christians. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's the reason why he came up to Joshua and said, "Give me this mountain," because he remembers God's promise to him. Can you imagine from Egypt all the way to the promised land in that tough journey, yet still he is excited to claim his blessings? Oh, my friend, it would just excite you if you just exercise your faith of what God has promised to you. Amen? Amen. We as missionaries, my favorite verse, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Me and my wife apply a visa to come this way. We don't have money to show in the U.S. Embassy. Because the first thing that we'll be asking from you, how much money do you have in the bank since you'll be traveling to America? When the officer asked us, how much money do you have in the bank? I told him, sir, I'm not a businessman trying to make money in the bank. I'm a preacher boy. I don't have money. And he said, how would you support yourself? How would you support your family? I said, the Lord.
Yes.
And he said, I'm sorry, Reverend. Guess what? He has given us 10 years visa. God can touch the heart when you claim the blessings of God. Miracles after miracles in our ministry. Because we just simply put our faith of what God has promised.
Amen.
We have to go back to our old time Christianity. We have to go back to that old time Christianity, or that Christianity that is set before us in the book.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Number two, second reason why he came up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain. Look in verse 8. Look in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Look at the last phrase. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look in verse 9. Look in verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance, and thy children's forever. Look at that word. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. In verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunne, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know why he came up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain? Not only he remembers what God has promised to him. Number two, Caleb remembers his own personal commitment to God. remembers his own personal commitment to God. Can I tell you something tonight? This is the problem. Why America is in bad shape? What is better? What is not better? No, no. That you are about to tell us, I will tell you something. This is what we are lacking today in our churches. Commitments of the members in our church.
Amen.
For about 5 months traveling in your country, preaching the largest church and the smallest church in your country, I found out and I saw it with my eyes. Many of the church members, Baptist church members, I saw it with my eyes, coming to church, just playing church.
Yep.
Playing church. No commitment. When they have the need, they need the church. When they have something, they'll be asking the church to pray. But no commitment to serve the living God. Many members of your church is just playing church, sleeping church. Tonight, can I tell you something? While you are playing church, Muslim, Islam religion is the fastest growing religion in America. Why you play church? Every day, between 6 to 7 independent Baptist churches close down their doors and no more services. You know why? No commitment. I found out that even in our independent Baptist churches in your country, your Christianity here now is becoming a culture. The worst is now just religion. You come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. You just go with the motion. You are not committed to serve the living God. Brother, no, you're supposed to be a missionary. God knows my heart. I love your country. Every time I preach there, many members just walk out. It's not my business to please you. My business is to preach the truth. Long time ago when God called me to preach, I will preach the truth.
Amen.
Apostle Paul said, I am become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Oh God, help us to see the condition of the land. It's very sad. I'm so broken for your country. I'm so broken. Brother, no. Why? You're a brown. I got saved because of missionary work. My wife got saved and baptized because of missionary work. After World War II, General Douglas MacArthur came back to America and made a strong campaign. And he said, send Bibles to the Philippines. Send missionaries to the Philippines. And many went. We heard the gospel for the first time since then when I got saved. I have a lot of respect to America. I have a lot of respect to Christianity in America. But right now I'm so broken because many members and Christians in your land just playing church. No commitment. You commercialize Christianity in this land. That's why you lose the power. You are more excited on sports than the souls of men. Some of you would say, I cannot support that missionary. I don't have money to support. But excuse me, how much money you spend on sports? much money you spend on your pets. And yet you sing during congregational singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." But you're not even willing to sacrifice. After Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln made a speech. And one of the lines of his speech, he said, "It's my hope and it's my prayer that every born American in this land would truly understand what it means to be an American in this land." What he was saying was, for you as an American, you have to remind yourselves how your founding fathers sacrificed and given their lives for your country. Shame on you, you're a Christian, enjoying all the comforts of the world, and God giving you salvation, God giving you everything, and you're not even willing to go farther and deeper in your commitment to God. Every time you see missionaries, you would always think, "He'll get the money." You are unsaved, unconverted individual. Because missionary work is all about the souls of men.
That's right. Yes, sir.
When Jesus Christ saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He did not just saw people, but he saw people with immortal souls. That's why he came and died.
Amen.
Shed his blood.
Amen.
Father, knowing what commitment you're talking about, let me ask you here a very basic thing. It would change your church. It would change your life if you'll just be honest tonight to God. What's your commitment as far as your prayer life is concerned?
That's right.
You have more times in that television set than spending time with the Lord in prayer. You have more times on those shopping than time in prayer. How about your commitment in reading the book? Because you'll never get inspired by God apart from the book. You'll only get the fire in serving the Lord from the book. Outside from this book, all your service to God is all religion, my friend. What's your commitment reading this book? This year is about to end. Where are you in your Bible personal reading? Where are you? Oh, let just be humble tonight. Brother, no, I don't like you. I don't care. I'm not trying to be ugly. I just want to help you.
Yes.
I just want to be a help to you.
Amen.
God knows my heart.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to be ugly here. I just want to help you, my friend. How's your Bible reading? Why some of you cannot attend Sunday school hour? If you love to study the Word, how's your commitment as far as sharing the gospel is concerned?
That's right.
How many souls you personally won to the Lord since that time you got saved? How many? How many gospel tracts you gave away this week? How many? I was here many years in Jackson trying to knock on doors. After knocking doors, somebody behind me is the policeman. He said, "Stop that boy. If not do that, I'll put you in the jail. Scare me to death." I was in Myers trying to give away gospel tracts and witnessing. Somebody said, "Don't do that in here." I was just last 3 months ago. I was in North Carolina. I said, "Lord, I'm guilty here preaching, trying to encourage Christians and churches in this country, how to share the word of God. And I'm not doing it myself. I'm a hypocrite standing in that pulpit." And I said to the Lord, Lord, give me opportunity. Oh, God, you know my heart's desire. I want to be a witness. I want to witness. I'm scared to death in your country because probably they put me in the jail. But I just found out that summertime, I know. You know, when you decide to go fishing, you should know where the fishes are. Listen, don't expect the fish that will come to you. You go where the fishes are. During summertime, you know where are they? They're in flea market. I was in the largest flea market in Ohio along that highway in 75. I was witnessing and preaching, and the gospel tracts were just flooding. I said, hallelujah. And then, during summertime, there, what were doing there? Huh? Yard sales. Yes. You know, when you get in there, they're so nice. They're thinking they're going to, you know, they're going to get your money. But preach. Many souls God saved as a result of that. Last week, I was in Bloomington, Indiana. And I told my wife, it's too cold, but let's get outside and preach. I got to get out there and preach and give gospel tracts. And this young man, a very decent young man, he came back after getting into a grocery, came back and said, hey, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. I'm get convicted. And he said, are you preaching? No, I'm just got convicted. We prayed together. And he said, God bless you. You know, when you do that, people are get convicted. Amen? Yeah. What's your commitment? As far as your Bible reading, as far as your prayer life and witnessing, lastly, how's your commitment as far as your giving in the work of the Lord is concerned? These four things, ask yourself, how far and how farther you are in your commitment. When Moses saw Caleb serving the Lord all the way through, God spoke to the man of God, Moses, and told him, that mountain is the inheritance of Caleb because he followed me with all of his heart. You have no right, you have no authority to come up to God and demand Him a blessing and answered prayers if you are not committed to God.
Amen.
But as long as you know what you know, you're serious about the things of God, you got God.
Amen.
You got the promises of God. I mean, you got. Somebody said, take the world, just give me God. I got everything. In our country, our people earn $4 a day. $4 a day. But we teach our people, these Catholic people, after they got converted and got baptized, we teach our people that every $4 you make, 10%. Belongs to God. We teach our people that anything that passes in your hand, 10% belongs to God. Our people love, learn and love to return their 10%. And I said, wow, you've been a Christian for a long time, driving a nice car, living a nice home, why you cannot return the 10%? What's your problem? What's your problem? Our people give their money on missions too. Because I believe that's the only way that our God in heaven that promised can bless them. We teach our people to give on mission from that $4. And I saw it with my eyes. Our people sacrifice because they're serious about their Christianity.
Amen.
They're committed Christians.
Right.
Committed. Here in America, and this is always my struggle, when you come to a decent restaurant, after you order the food, and you're ready to take off, when you're about to pay your bill, after you order your food, the waitress keep on coming to you. Anything I can do for you. She would go there, quite further. Anything I can do for you, you know. Anything I can do for you. She keeps on coming to you. Guess what? After you eat your food, your heart is not that heavy to give her between 10 to 15% tips. Because you're so pleased of her service. God is not kind and nice to you. If you can afford to give 15% to this waitress, how about your God?
Right.
Oh God, help us.
Amen.
Can you imagine you guys tonight? If you just return your 10%, what's going to be happening in your offering next Sunday? What's going to happen to you when you just get back on your knees and ask the Lord of your commitment as far as Bible reading and your prayer and witness is concerned? You're going to have a great church.
Amen.
You're going to have a dynamic church. Your church will make an impact to the community.
Amen.
Why? You are the New Testament church.
Amen.
And that should be a kind of church that God can bless. Let us go back and claim our inheritance. As I close, in verse 14, the Bible says in that verse, Hebron therefore became an inheritance of Caleb. Why Hebron? When you study the book, Hebron is the place where Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac were buried. That is the place where the altar was built. That is the place where they worship God and show their allegiance to God. My friend, listen to me. As you spend your time this week, in your Thanksgiving Day, you have all the rights to claim your inheritance. How your founding fathers giving their lives for your country. Go back tonight and say, Lord, thank you for America. Help me, use me to claim again my inheritance. Every time I study the minor and the major prophets, I always see America in every page. Because when you study the book, you'll find out that when the nation of Israel followed the Lord their God wholeheartedly, God blessed them. God protect them. And that's the way how God founded your country. And that's the way how God bless your country. When your founding fathers, when your lawmakers founded this country for him. But when the nation of Israel turned their back in serving the Almighty Living God, God inspired the neighboring countries to punish them. Can I tell you something tonight? Right now, Muslim Islam religion, they have over 3 million membership. And they said, for us to take over America, we have to join the politics. That's why you got a black man in the White House.
Yeah.
But no, that's scary. I'm not white man, I'm a brown. But listen to me. This is number two. We have to evangelize and convert their young people. And that's what they're doing right now. You go to the Muslim center or Muslim mosque, they're busy. Can I tell you something? They are always update and on time of their hidden agenda. They got the plan. While Christians are playing, while Christians are sleeping, Muslim religion got a plan for your country. Oh God, I hope you will wake up. Especially these young people, they have no idea what's going to happen when God will punish America. He gonna use the enemy to punish America. Yeah. That scared me to death. But the only hope, my friend, is your personal commitment to God. Amen?
Amen.
Because God will always hear the few remnant who are truly dedicated and love the Lord. I hope you would come tonight and say, by God's grace, Brother Nono, I want to be counted one of the few remnant tonight.
Yes. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, tonight,